And that was the end of the iman. Today, so much researches are being done to show the truth of the Quran, but yet Muslims keep on going on the decline. So it boils down to one principle, my dear brothers and sisters, that iman is the strongest thing that a person can have. And iman is not suspended upon understanding. This is why it is called iman, because iman means faith. Faith in something. You believe in something, and thus that is the end. So there are many things which are yet to come, and there are many things which still exist, which Allah says He has created in pairs, but people do not know about it as yet. وَآيَةُ اللَّهُمُ اللَّيْلِ Another sign, the sign in the cosmos, the sign in the heavens, the sign on the earth has been given. This is a sign. And there are many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The trees, the every single thing, even the fruit that comes. But He give just one sign, in that He has created everything in pairs, because it is not within the power of any human being to create pairs. Allahu Akbar. No human being can do that. No human being. With every single thing man has done, a man, the greatest scientist or a doctor, they cannot create pairs. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. Then, the other dalil, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ And a sign for them is the night. Another sign. A sign for them is the night. What does Allah do? He says, نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ We remove from it the day, and suddenly they are plunged into darkness. This is another sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all pass the period of night and day. During the daylight, we await the night to take a rest. And when we have taken a good rest, we await the day. We go out and we work. But has it ever come to our minds how the night was created and who created the night? Or who created the day? Who created the sun and who created the moon? We enjoy the sunlight. The entire world depends on solar energy, which is gained from the sun. We need rest. Allah has created the night. Allah has created the night for us. So He says to us, in other words, if you look around, O human beings, you will surely see signs of Allah. And one of that sign is the night. Now, Allah says, نَسْلَقُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ How does the night come? How does the night come? He says, نَسْلَقُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارَ We remove from it the day. And فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ Then the people are plunged into darkness. That is the night. That is how the night is. The word نَسْلَقُ comes from the word سَلَقَ. In Arabic, the word سَلَقَ It means to remove the skin of an animal from the animal. So it has the meaning of removing something to get something else. So when Allah says, نَسْلَخُ مِنُ النَّهَارَ He says, we remove the day. Why? In this ayah, Allah is telling us that night is original. Every single thing remains dark. Every single thing. The reality of the entire earth is darkness. That is the origin. But He has created the sun. And when the sunlight reflects on the earth, then we will get light. But before that light, it was dark. So in order to get it back dark, all you do, remove this light away, and it gets back its original. Which is the what? Darkness. And this is the concept of the Islamic scientists, even from before, that what was first, light or darkness? And Muslims believe that there was darkness first and then light came in. The world was plunged into darkness, then Allah created the sun. And from the light of the sun, the light of the moon came about. Because the moon is no separate, you know, something that has light in it. It is open. The reflection of the sunlight upon the moon gives its light. This is why the heat of the sun is original. But the heat of the moon is not original. The light of the moon is not original. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is He who has created the sun as a lamp, and He has created the moon as a light. The big difference between a lamp and a light is that a light like which we have here, given off its light, give off a cool type of light. But a lamp gives off heat with its light. This is why Allah considered the sun. Because a sun is made of combustion of gases within itself that produces a lot of heat. The moon, on the other side, is not a member or a pillar of light emanating from itself. It takes its light from something else. It borrows its light. So this is why the sun is considered to be siraja, a lamp, because a lamp is that which gives off heat with its light. And we really see, the heat really comes from the sun, not the moon. But the light we get from the moon, it is a cool type of light, which does not produce any heat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in this ayah, He says, the original thing is that of darkness. The light, the sunlight comes on temporarily, reflects on it, then Allah moves it away and back to darkness. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the sun, the day and the night. And He says, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ بِالنَّهَارِ. He is the one who coils up the night with the day. And explaining that aspect of the word that has been used, coiling up. The scientists have stated, it is exactly as Allah has stated with the word kawara. Why? Because of the fact that when the earth is moving, the sun also moves. The earth is moving. And with the movements of the earth, it produces the day and the night very fast. So when the earth moves, and the sun is still there, the light of the sun comes on part of the earth, producing what? The sunlight. But then it moves around and it coils back up on the other side and get the night. So the action that takes place between these two bodies, exactly as the Quran says, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلِ, as Allah coils it up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is another sign. وَآيَةُ لَهُمْ اللَّيْلِ, and a sign for them is that of the night. نَسْلَخُ مِنُ النَّهَارَ, we remove from it the daylight. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ, then they are plunged into darkness. So therefore Allah removes the daylight, but the original thing comes back into existence, which is the night. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرُّ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. And the sun, تَجْرِي, it runs its course, لِمُسْتَقَرُّ لَهَا, to a place determined for it. The sun runs its course to a place determined for it. And this is from among the mu'ajiza of the Holy Quran also. The miraculous nature of the Holy Quran. Such ulum and knowledge has been expounded. Such knowledge has been given by Allah that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one had knowledge about that. And from the second century after Christ until straight up, people always believed that the sun was fixed at a certain station and everything moved around it. That was the theory everyone accepted, even before Isa alayhi salam and after that, which is known as BC and AD. Way before that, they always believed that the sun was fixed at a certain point, and every single thing moved around it. People did not have the belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is wrong. The sun also moves. So He says, وَشَمْسُ تَجْرِي. The sun runs its course. And that is the theory right now, which is present and accepted, that the sun moves also in its orbit. The sun has an orbit for itself. The sun has a place to move. But the speed it moves us, the speed, it is so fast, it can hardly be detected that it is moving. But it is presently accepted in science that the sun also moved, something which the Quran has informed us of so many years ago. But it runs in a course. Where does it run to? Where does it run to? Allah says, لِمُسْتَقَرِّ اللَّهَ, to a place determined for it, or for a time determined for it. This word here, مُسْتَقَرْ, it has two meanings. And the two meanings will give us two different interpretations of this ayah. As the Mufassirin and commentators have mentioned, that the sun, it runs its course to a place determined for it. And the sun runs its course to a time determined for it. A time determined for it, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allotted to the sun, the movement of the sun, a certain time. That it moves on its course, completing a time which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed for it. And what is the time that has been fixed for the sun? إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, until the destruction of the world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it and say, you will remain until the hour of destruction. So thousands and millions of people will be born and will die, but the sun will remain. Generations will go and they will come, the sun will remain. The sun was there even before Adam alayhi salam. Empires will go up and come down, the sun will remain. But how long will it remain until? Forever and ever? No, no, no. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, until that day when Allah will destroy it. So, in other words, what Allah is saying, that the sun is created by Allah, and it is ordered by Allah to continue running your course. Continue to move from one station to the other station. Continue to move until what time? Until the hour of destruction, when Allah will destroy every single thing. And the other tafsir, that the sun runs its course to a place determined for it. To a place, not a time. A time is when we say until the day of judgment. But to a place. And if this is the tafsir, as many mufassirin has commented on it, and many of the Sahabas, they have accepted that this ayah means that the sun runs its course to a place which is determined for it. And what is that place? What is the place which is determined for the sun? Once Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala, and the hadith is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala says, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid, and we were in the masjid at the time of sunset. The sun has set. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to me, Abu Zar is saying, and he says, oh Abu Zar, do you know where the sun sets? Do you know where? Abu Zar says, no. Please tell me. He says, Tahta al-arsh, beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other hadith reported by Abu Zar himself says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجَرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ اللَّهَ, and the sun runs its course to a place determined for it. And then he said, oh Abu Zar, do you know what is the place determined for it? And then he pleaded, O Messenger of Allah, inform me. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَحْتَ الْأَرْشِ بِنِي دَ أَرْشَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is where the sun set. And another hadith says, mentioned in Muslim also, it states, that every day the sun sets. The sun sets, تَحْتَ الْأَرْشِ بِنِي دَ أَرْشَ الرَّحْمَن, beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sun seeks permission to rise the other day. And Allah gives it its permission to rise the other day. And so every day the sun gets the permission to rise, the sun rises the other day. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then one day will come upon the people on the face of the earth when the sun sets and prostrates. He says the sun makes sajda in front of the arsh of Allah. Every time it sets, it makes sajda before the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that day will come, and after making sajda, the sun will ask and request from Allah that it must rise the other day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, rise from that point where you set. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that shall be the day when the sun shall rise from the west. He says, on that day, on that day, when that happens, Iman will not be accepted from anyone who never accepted Iman before, and all the doors of Tawbah will be closed from that time. So anyone trying to repent at that time, that is one of the major signs of the hour of judgment. No repentance will be accepted. All the doors of repentance will be closed. And no one who did not believe before, their belief will be beneficial to them. لا ينفعوا إيمانهم, the Prophet ﷺ says. So therefore, this is a very accepted tafsir, that the sun has a place to rest also. Mustaqar in Arabic means a place of resting, a place where you return to. So your mustaqar, it will be your homes. You go out anywhere, but where do you come back? To your house. You will go for the entire day. Where is your place of returning? To your house. You will go and spend a holiday for about 2 months or 3 months, but after all of that, where do you come back? To your house. So that is your mustaqar. So mustaqar means the place of going back, the station of the place. And what is the station of the sun? تحت الأرش, beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim says, every day it makes sajda. Maybe we cannot understand it, because this is not something for our understanding. Because we can only understand what we see. Above that, Allah wa alam, Allah alone knows what happens in the cosmos, what happens with the heavenly bodies, what happens with the sun and the moon. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being informed by Allah of what takes place out there, he tells us what happens to these things out there. So this is one of authentic tafsir of this ayah, that the mustaqar of the sun, it is where? It is taht al-arsh, beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, ذَلِكَ التَّقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, and this is the measurement. If it is, we are speaking about time, until the day of judgment, or this is the determination of the one mighty and the one full of knowledge. So both tafsir can be given here. Both tafsir. Because you have Quranic ayat and tradition supporting the two. In another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the sun and the moon, we have created them ila ajalim musamma, towards a fixed time. And obviously the fixed time is Yawm al-Qiyamah. That is the fixed time. It will not be destroyed before that time. It will keep on giving its service to mankind and everything on the face of the earth. But ila ajalim musamma, towards a fixed and specific period. So whether it is a measurement as in time or a place, then ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, that is the determination of the one mighty and the one full with knowledge, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other heavenly body, وَالْقَمَرَى, and the moon, as for the moon, that was about the sun having its own place, making movements, moving its orbit. What about the moon? Allah says, another sign for people. We have measured for it mansions. The mansions of the moon are the 28 different constellations that it moves in. It means stations. We have measured for the moon different stations. And these are the stations. You will see in the moon, there is a full moon tonight. Then after that, you may not see the moon for 1 day or 2 days. Then you will see a very, very thin line. You will call it the birth of the moon. Then the next night you will see a little tick. It's more thicker. Then the next night you will see it, you know, even more thicker. And then the next night you will see it until you go to the first quarter. Then there is half of the moon. Then it goes up again, three quarter. Then all these are different manzil and mansions of the moon the Quran is mentioning. Allah has created it for it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Look at the beauty of Allah's creation. And each phase, there is something behind it. People use it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, they ask you, يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ, يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْقَمَرِ, they ask you about the moon. What is in the moon? Allah says, tell them, it is a measurement for people. Allahu Akbar. With the moon, you are able to calculate time. Every different station of the moon will give you a different time, a different amount of days. You are able to calculate the days, and that is how our Islamic calendar is calculated. How many days? And also Allah says, it is a sign that gives you the time for Hajj. Because it is with respect. Remember the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you did not have a calendar. They did not have a calendar. They never relied. They did not have watch and clocks and etc. etc. They relied fully on the way the sun is rising the break of dawn, the setting of the sun, the red twilight zone on the horizon, when it goes away, Asia starts, everything. So similarly, it is based on the moon, the mansions of the moon, you are able to know 8 days had gone already. 10 days, now we are on the 10th day. Now the Hajj is starting. And for every single thing. So Allah says that the way the movements of the moon takes place, did that come for itself? No. قَدَّرْنَاهُ Allahu Akbar. Allah says, we made the mansions for the moon. So that it will pass through the 28 different constellations. And at the end of it, what will happen? Had until Ada, it returns. It began in a different form. Hatta Ada kal urjun al qadim, until it comes back like an old palm leaf or a date stalk, as you normally say. Urjun. Urjun means the palm leaves or the stalk. Now what happens with that is when it becomes dry and old, it becomes very thin and it bends like a bow. It bends like a bow. So it is like the fingernail, you know, it's curved and it is thin. Exactly, Allah says, it returns back like that. And when we look at the moon and we see when the moon has now been born, that is our language, meaning coming back after it has disappeared for 1 day or 2 days, it's very, very thin. Sometimes the moon for Ramadan or the moon for Eid just shows itself for a few seconds and it goes away. It is very thin. Kal urjun al qadim. Just like this. So this is the mansion, the mansions that Allah has made for the moon, and that is the mustaqar. Now, there is the Allahu Akbar. The ayah of the Quran itself tells us about the type of movements of the sun and the type of movements of the moon. Because of the fact that the sun does not move, but it moves like the moon, but it does move. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the sun is not moving like the moon. The sun has been made with mustaqar, a place, a station where it goes back to. But the moon does not happen like that with the moon. It does not occur like that. I mean, if you look at the sun, it rises in the morning and it sets in the evening and you don't see it again. The moon does not occur like that. You will see the moon tonight, let's say. Tonight, tomorrow night, you will see it again. The other night, you will see it again. The difference is that for one, which is the moon, Allah made mansions. And the moon covers all these mansions. Every night, covering different mansions before it goes out of that sight. Not so with the sun. So for the sun, He created a mustaqar, a place of going back. It comes up, it goes back right there. But with the moon, it must cover the mansions because Allah says, we have made the mansions and it must pass through these mansions before it can go back. It can return to what? Kal urjun al qadim. Then He says, the sun is there, the moon is there. There are two bodies, celestial bodies in the cosmos, moving around. In our eyes, they are just there, suspended in the mid-air. Far out of space, Allah knows how far, wherever. They have measured million and million and million. And that is what they can understand. But no one can reach the sun to know exactly how far it is. No one can reach it. Every single thing is based on, you know, assumption or something like that. But the reality, Allah alone knows. But they are there. And it looks to us as if you have two bulbs in the air, they are suspended. Two bulbs there, just, you know, nothing holding it up. Will they ever collide? The sun is moving and the moon is moving. In the same sky. In the same place. It is moving. Stars also, we feel the stars are in the sky, but the stars are not attached to the sky. It looks like that. To us, a person growing up looking, you feel that something is attached to that blue thing we see up there. But that's not it. So all these things move. In fact, Allah says, they swim. You know, if you put a fish in the water, you will see how it's swimming and moving. Allah uses the exact word for the sun and the moon. They swim in the orbit. They swim in the heavens. Do they ever collide? No. You know why? because Allah controls them. Allah controls them. If any human being makes any two objects and leave them alone, it will box up, it will collide, it will destroy itself. You start a can, you start another can, you leave them to go. They will collide. These two things are created by Allah. They will never collide because Allah controls them. So he says, La shamsu yanbaghi laha. It is not becoming of the sun. And tudrik al qamar, that it can reach the moon. Allahu Akbar. Two bodies in the same place, but one cannot reach the other one. It cannot reach. So la shamsu yanbaghi laha an tudrik al qamar. It is not becoming of the sun that it should reach the moon. وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. Nor can the night overtake the day. So when we look at it, night and day, Allah has created each. One cannot outstrip the other one. One cannot overtake the other one. In other words, the night cannot come before its time and say, okay, I reached up already. The day cannot reach before its time. Allahu Akbar. What a system Allah has created. Every single minute and second, the sun and the moon moves by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not reach at any point before its time. Neither does it set before its time. Exactly as Allah has ordained for it, it moves minute to minute, second to second. Similarly, the days and the nights are measured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every single thing occurs accurately without a second delay or a second advancement. So therefore, the two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indicated to, it is the sun and the moon and the night and the day. As for the sun and the moon, Allah says this, they can never meet each other. They can never reach up to each other. And the night, it cannot overtake the day. Like if two things are moving and one reaches before the other one, it could never happen. وَكُلٌ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. And each and every one of them, they are swimming in its orbit. Wow can be used as halia. Halia means while. So Allah is saying that the sun cannot reach the moon and the day cannot pass the night, even though all of these things are swimming in the same orbit. Allahu Akbar. Even though they are in the same place, they just cannot reach each other. Because the sun, Allah says, ذَلِكَ التَّقْدِيرِ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. This is the determination of the one mighty and the one full of knowledge. So Allah governs that. And as for the moon, he says, when he says, قَدَّرْنَا مَنَازِلَ. We have made the station, so it cannot go further than that. So the two things. So that was the sign in the cosmos. The sign in the heavens, or the sign in the skies. Things bearing the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at least a person can look at these things and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another sign in the ocean, Allah says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ. And a sign for them, أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. And a sign for them is that we transported your forefathers فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ on the loaded ark. On the loaded ark. Ajib qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very strange and amazing power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he hints to people. That if you take a stone and you throw it in the water, what will happen to that stone? It will sink. If you take lead and you throw it will sink. Whatever you take heavy and you throw it will sink. Allah says, have you considered the ships and the boats that flow? How does that remain? Allah says, because we cause it to remain firm and we does not cause it to sink. So he says, look, remember your forefathers, speaking to these people. Your forefathers at the time of Noah alayhi salam, when the great flood came, who saved them and how did Allah save them? At least remember that. Recall that. So Allah says, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ. Another sign for them, أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. That we have transported your forefathers. They boarded the loaded ark. and Allah saved them, and Allah did not cause that heavy thing weighing so many tons to sink, but He caused it to move. Allahu Akbar. Another ayat Allah says, look at the ships and the boats sailing on the surface of the water like huge mountains in the sea. Allah says, who keeps up those ships? No one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He says another sign for them is that we have transported your forefathers fil-fulk al-mash'un, on the loaded ark. And besides that, He says, وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مَا يَرْكَبُونَ, and we created for them مِنْ مِثْلِهِ, from its like, ma, that which they will ride. The Mufassireen of the Holy Quran, they have stated, the commentators, that in this ayat, Allah indicates to the many different modes and ways of transport, saying that He has created. So in other words, He has created the ark, and they were saved. But just like the ark, how people will go into it, and it can save them, and it can transport them, Allah says, just like that, we have created many other things which people ride. From among the many things that moves on the surface of the water or on the air, Allah says, and we created for them from the like of that, ma yarkabun, that which they ride also. Allah says, wa inna sha nughriqum fala sariqa lahum wa lahum yunqadun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the ark, He created the ship, He created the boats moving out there, the tankers, the oil tankers, whatever have you. Obviously, I mean, there is an explanation. Why does a plane goes up in the air? Why does a plane go up in the air? Why doesn't it fall? There is an explanation for that. The technology behind it. However, it is amazing to know that before man invented that of the aircraft, they studied the life of the bird. How does a bird remain up? And what does Allah say? He says, haven't you not looked at the birds? Allahu Akbar. You're studying something which Allah has created and put the ability already. Have you not looked at the birds? In Surah Tabarak Alladhi Biyadihi Al-Mulk. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَانِ. No one keeps the bird at bay except Allah, the compassionate. So Allah has created it and put the ability within it to remain there. So you study it. So in other words, what, you have followed the pattern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. This is how it is up there. So similarly, obviously, there are a lot of explanation. But the bottom line is that Allah can do whatever He wants. And it is heavy, it can stay up. It is heavy, it can sink also. So He says, what about these ships, the load ark that you went in? In Nasha, Allah says, if we had so much, we could have drowned all of them. As people drown, every day people are moving in the boats and the ship and something is happening. In Nasha, if we had so much, we could have drowned all of them. Fala sariqa lahum. And when we drown them, there will be no helper to respond to their call. Who will be there? Everyone is drowning, you are screaming and no one around to listen to your call. You will just sink and the person will drown. So Allah says, but this is what we could have done. وَإِنَّ شَأْ نُغْرِقُمْ فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ. If we had so wished, we could have drowned them. فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ. There would have been no helper to respond to their call. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ. Nor will they have been saved. Nor will they have been saved. And in the midst of the ocean is a place, as soon as a person sees very, very high waves and he sees destruction out there, immediately he remembers Allah. And this is exactly what Allah says in the Quran, that the people, they go out there when they are surrounded by destruction from right around. What they do? They believe in Allah and they say, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينُ. Oh Allah, we are sincere, but we believe in you. Allah, we believe in you, Allah. If you give us one chance to reach to the shore, we will change our attitude, we'll change our way about us, we'll change our religion. We are in, idolatry, worship idols, we'll turn to you. Allah says, but when we reach them on the shore, they turn against Allah. You see, whenever a person sees azar or punishment before him, he melts like the candle and he says, oh Allah,
you know, there is no one can save me but you. But when he comes out of that,
bas, he turns back.
So Allah says, how were they saved? Illa rahmatan minna.
Except it was a mercy from us. It was a mercy, referring back to Noah alayhi salam and his people, that he caused the ark to sail on the water, and also every other thing like that. When people undertake the journey on the ships and on the boat, moving on the water, Allah says, if we wish, we can drown them. But we do not drown them, we do not cause any mishaps to take place, because illa rahmatan minna, as a mercy from ourselves. So it's Allah's mercy that he causes people to reach safely. Awamata an ila hin, and a provision until a fixed time.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given the dalail and the evidence and the proofs to these people to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is something right before you, whether it's something within you, whether it is in the skies that we look, we see the twinkling stars, we see the sun and we see the moon, we see the movement, they do not collide, they do not come in and have an accident with each other, the night cannot come before the day cannot, all these things, and people still cannot believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what the unbelievers used to say, two statements to the Muslims. So he places these dalail. Now he tells us, now the reality of the thing is that the unbelievers remain in their kufr and disbelief. And whenever the Muslims and the believers give them the da'wat and invited them to Allah, what was their response and what was their remarks? One, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, when it is said to them, اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ, fear that which is before you. Fear that which is before you. وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ, and fear that which is after you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that maybe Allah will have mercy on you. When it is said to them, what is meant by what is before them? When it is said to them, the believers will say to them, fear that which is before you. In other words, the Muslims and the believers used to say to the unbelievers, be careful of what you do. Believe in Allah. Haven't you seen what happened to the Ad and the Thamud? Haven't you seen what happened to the people of Noah? So they will warn about an azab which can come to them right on the face of the earth. And besides that, they will warn about an azab which can come to them after they die. So what the ayat means, when it is said to them, fear the azab which can come to you right here on the face of the earth, and also fear the azab which can come after you die, what is to happen? A'radu, they used to object and turn away. They used to object and turn away. And that objection was in this manner. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَعْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنَهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. And no sign from among the signs of Allah came to them, except they continued to turn away from those signs. Every single thing that came to them, they turned away. They went back in their heels. Every single sign. If we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will understand and see that many signs were asked from him. He did perform the sign. They disbelieved. A person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he held a stone behind his back and his hand, and he says, listen, if you tell me what I have in my hand, I will believe in you, because no one besides a messenger can know that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will not tell you, I will make the thing itself say what it is. The stone started to speak, ana hajarun, I am what? I am a stone. The person did not believe. They did not believe. Abu Jahl and the others came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, if you are a prophet, then do some miracle for us that we will believe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated to the moon with his finger. It split into two pieces. They went away and they did not believe. What they used to say, he's a sorcerer. He's a magician. And many signs, the whole party of the Jews came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say, we are asking you three questions. If you give an answer to it, then it means you are a prophet. He gave all the answers, the three answers. Some of the questions. Questions were, what was the first food, or what is the first food in Jannah? Why does a child resemble the mother or the father? Another question they asked, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the answers and they did not believe. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked the Messenger of Allah, what is the reality of the sleepers in the cave? Give us, inform us, we will believe in you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after some time Jibreel alaihi wasallam came, the entire Surah Al-Kahf was revealed, and at the end of it they did not believe. So Allah is saying, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. There did not come a single sign from the signs of Allah except that they continued to turn away. Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, the 10 signs that came, one after the other, every time one came, Musa alayhi salam said, if you do not let the Israelites go with me, Allah's azab will come. Fir'aun says, no, I am not going to let to send them. The azab came. What happened? Fir'aun and his people went to Musa and he says, please pray to your Lord that he will move it, we will send them now. Allah removed it, they did not send them. The second azab came, the same thing happened. He did not lift up. Until 10 different azab, 10 different signs, which are called the signs, 10 different azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. So many different things where they saw the frogs in every single thing that they were eating, and whenever they wanted to drink water, it turned into blood for them, but not so with Musa alayhi salam and his people. And they did not, until even when Musa alayhi salam got the people out of Egypt, and Fir'aun and his army was running behind them, there is where they reach up to the Red Sea, and then they were drowned, Fir'aun and his people. So again, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْ مُعْرِضِينَ. And every Nabi, Salih alayhi salam, the people of Thamud requested Salih alayhi salam that bring some miracle for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give a miracle based on the people, based on the mentality of the people, and based upon the actions of the people. He sent his Nabi with such a miracle that will be able to dominate whatever they had. And so we see that Musa alayhi salam came with a miracle, the miracle of the stick and the hand, because these people practice sorcery, and he came with something to overpower and to dominate that sorcery. So they used to take their ropes and put it and make it into snakes. Musa alayhi salam came with a real snake, his asa. When he threw it on the ground, it ate up everything. They immediately dropped down and said, Aman to be Rabbi Musa wa Harun. Thus we believe. Because they know that what they practice were tricks, and this man does not have tricks with him. This cannot be a trick. Isa alayhi salam, he came to a people who believed in a lot of healing and medical cures and the healing powers from the herbs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Isa alayhi salam as the greatest healer. But he does not need tablets, or he does not need herbs, he does not need bushes, but just with his hand passing can remove every type of sickness. He cured the blind, the lepers, every single person he cured. To do what? To dominate whatever they believed in. To dominate what they believed in. And every Nabi, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the people were very, very high with the Arabic language. They were the best orators. They were the best poets of the Arabic language. They considered themselves to be the best people in the language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it. He revealed the Holy Quran, and he gave them a challenge. He said, Alif Lam Mim, you people claim to be, give us the translation of Alif Lam Mim. They pull back their hands and they says, we can't do it. So Salih alayhi salam, at the time of Thamud, the people of Thamud, the people requested a miracle. During his days, the time of Salih alayhi salam, it was very, very difficult, extremely difficult, to have a she-camel who is pregnant. It was difficult. So they looked forward for that, because for a farmer, you know, that is wealth when, you know, animals can reproduce. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that he would sell his miracle. And from the rocks of the mountains, there appeared a she-camel pregnant. From the rocks coming out of the mountain. Salih alayhi salam says, Naqatullah, this is the camel of Allah. This is the camel of Allah. Whenever this camel comes to the well to drink water, allow the camel to drink the water. Do not harm this camel. This is a sign from Allah. What the people did? They tied the camel killed the camel, hamstrung the camel, cut up the legs and every single thing and left it like that. They killed the camel. Allah destroyed them. He destroyed them, the people of Thamud. So exactly as Allah says, all these signs He have given, but the thing about it is, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ. They did not come to them a sign from among the signs of Allah, إِلَّا كَانُوا أَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ, except that they continue to turn away from the right message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. And when it is said to them, spend in the part that from that which Allah has given to you as sustenance. قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those people who disbelieve said to those people who believe, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَأَطْعَمَ. Should we feed those people that who, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wished, He would have fed them Himself? Should we feed those people? إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. The unbeliever said to the believers, you are upon nothing except on clear misguidance. You are indeed in error.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين. ما ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله. Speaking about the unbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when it is said to them, أنفقوا, spend مما رزقكم الله, spend out to the poor and the needy, spend out of that which Allah has given you as sustenance. قال الذين كفروا, the unbelievers, those people who disbelieve, they say to the believing ones, should we feed those people that that if Allah had so wished, He would have fed them? In antum illa fi dhalalin mubin. You people are nothing except manifest error and clear misguidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the statement made by the unbelievers to show the extent of kufr and disbelief in Allah. That when the believers will say to them, that why don't you people give to the poor and the needy? Why don't you people feed the poor and the needy? People who do not have, why don't you give it to them? Help them. Give them food and give them something to drink. Give them something to help themselves in their state of poverty. What was the reply of the unbelievers? They said, should we feed those people that if Allah had so wished, He Himself would have fed them? In other words, they were using the statement of Allah being Razzaq against what it really means. In other words, we all believe that Allah is the sustainer and nourisher of each and every single thing. Allah is the nourisher of the poor people and He's the nourisher of the rich people. He's the nourisher of the animals and the jinnats and every single thing. So, the gist of what they used to say is that, listen, you people believe that Allah is the Razik, Allah is the sustainer. If Allah is the sustainer, then Allah is supposed to feed them, not we. This is their reply. So the fact that they do not have to eat, and they are poor and they are needy, means that Allah did not choose to feed them. So why should we feed those people that Allah did not choose to feed? Na'uzubillah. They did not misunderstood the concept of Razaq, but it is just a way of getting away from something. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the entire creation. And among the animals, and among the insects and the reptiles and the birds. These things get their risk directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Directly. They go out and they get what Allah has for them. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you people fear Allah and you have firm faith in Allah, then Allah will feed you as He feeds the birds. The birds in the morning, they go out and they do not know where their risk is. They do not know where they're going to eat from. But they go out. But the Prophet says, by sunset, by the evening time, their stomachs are filled and they return home. Thus Allah feeds them. So this is how Allah treats His creation. All the different types of, from among the animals and the insects. Directly. They will go, they will look in the earth, they will find their sustenance there. The fishes in the ocean, they will swim and they will find their sustenance there. Directly from Allah. But the system which Allah has implemented among the human beings is a system which is known as a mutual type of ta'awun and tanasur, a mutual cooperation and mutual help. In that, human being works in a cooperative system, and this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for their risk. So therefore, Allah has given some of His servants more than others, that some people will be dependent on them, but these people will also be dependent on others. So therefore, people who are not very wealthy, they may have skills and they can provide labor for someone. That person who has wealth, he may have wealth, but he does not know how to use his labor. He has no skill. So he will use this person, employ him, and then he will pay him. That is a system which Allah has used so that our risk can come to us. So that human beings depend on each other. Obviously, we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our iman. But Allah has made a system whereby some of that which He has given to others will reach to other people in many different ways. That a man who wants to pave the road, he may have money, but he cannot do that. So some people who can do it, they need the money. So they will come and work for you and they will get a salary. So therefore you get your job done and they get their job done. And that is how the world runs. This is the system which Allah has used. So He has used some that out of their mercy and compassionate nature, they will extend it to others, and the other people will owe a form of kindness to them. Yes, they have worked, but they were the cause, they were the media that Allah has used to reach their sustenance to them. And besides that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and has asked us that to take out our zakat and our charity and give it to the poor and the needy. So therefore, when we give, they will receive zakat. But their receiving zakat from an individual is also the risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the risk from a human being. It is the risk and sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people know very well Allah is a sustainer to the entire mankind. But how do people get their sustenance? They work hard, they labor hard. Some labor for others. They work, they get something. And with that, they are able to continue livelihood on the face of the earth. The Holy Quran says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَحْيَى بِهِ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِهَا لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. That if you were to ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were to ask the unbelievers, who sends the water from the heavens? And through the water revives the dead earth and produces every single thing. Who does that? They will say, Allah, la yaqulun Allah. So they believe Allah is the one who gives life to the dead and He causes everything to come up. But to get away from the point, to justify why they are not given, they are saying that if Allah had so chosen, He could have given him, why should we give that person that Allah doesn't want to give? So it is the same that if a poor and needy person comes to any one of us and say, please give me something. And then we say, well, look, Allah is your provider. Allah is your raziq. Don't come to me, go to Allah. Na'uzubillah, that is very bad. That is not permissible at all. Because the system Allah has implemented among human beings is that one will help the other one.
One depends on the other one for something. Some people depend on others for labor, and the laborers depend on the other people for their salary and their money. And this is how the entire system works from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam alayhi salam, and it will continue. For every single thing, Allah has created a nizam. Allah has created a system. Allah has created a system whereby we will get the rainfall. And He has created a system where we can understand. But the reality of it is that Allah alone sends the water without any clouds, without any sunshine, without any vaporization. Allah alone sends it. That is the reality and that is the belief we have. Allah doesn't need clouds. Allah doesn't need the sunshine. Allah doesn't need the sun's energy to pull up and absorb the water into the clouds. He doesn't need that. Our firm belief is Allah sends the water. As the Quran says, "Huwallazi," it is He, "anzala min as-sama'i ma'an," He has sent the water from the heavens. But He has created a system whereby His ni'mat, this ni'mat, will occur, whereby the water will be stored in the clouds. And whenever He wishes to send it, He will send the wind. The wind will push the clouds over community. And there He will cause the clouds to burst apart. And the water will fall. So this is the system. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone takes the life of everyone. But He has implemented a system whereby the angel of death come. And even in the occurrence of death, sometimes a person may be sick, sometimes a person will die of cancer, of kidney, whatever it is. So we can understand death in a little manner. Allah alone can Allah alone creates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need any single thing to create. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need even the earth to create Adam. Nor does Allah need any part of a human being, male or female, to create another human being. He can do it all by Himself. But this is a system which Allah has made to work on the face of the earth. And so too, the system which Allah has used for the risk of human being is that it will reach from some to the other, and it will go in a circular motion, always revolving and moving from one to the other. Thereby, human beings will get the risk. So they say, why should we feed such people that had Allah so well, He Himself would have fed them? Then they say to the believers, in antum illa fi dhalalin mubin. Bas, you people are nothing but on clear error. If this is your concept that we must give them risk and we are the people to feed them, and you are coming to us to ask of help for them, then you people are in misguidance then. But who are in the real misguidance? Those people who are uttering such words that bas Allah is the Razik and Allah will give to them, why should we give them? وَيَقُولُونَ And they say, these same people, the unbelievers, they say, مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعَدُ When is this promise going to come? Because occasionally, again and again, repeatedly, Anbiya's of the past, one after the other, will always warn the people about a day which will come, which is called the Day of Judgment. They always warn them about a day when they will die and they will enter the grave. They always warn them about the resurrection when they will be made to stand before Allah. So the unbelievers are hearing all these things, but they are not seeing nothing. They are not seeing nothing of what the Anbiya's are saying. So they say to the Anbiya's, Mata hazal wa'd? When is this promise you are telling us about? When is this time? In kuntum sadiqin? If you are truthful in what you are saying, then when is this time? When will this time come? What is the reply of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, Ma yanzuruna illa sayhatan wahida. They will not have to wait. Bas, they are asking about when the time will come. They are asking about when that hour will reach. Allah says, Ma yanzuruna. They will not have to wait. Illa sayhatan wahida. Except it will be one mighty blast. تَأْخُذُهُمْ That will seize them immediately. وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ While they are yet disputing among themselves. So what Allah says is that bas, their attitude is that of rebelliousness. Their attitude is that of rejection against the Anbiya's. And so they will continue to argue with the Anbiya's. So Allah says they will continue to dispute. Every day that passes, they will meet the believers, argue with them. They will meet the other believers, they will dispute with them. Allah says they will continue disputing. Lo and behold, it will be the sound of the trumpet will snatch them and seize them immediately. And that will be the end of them. So Allah says it is not long they have to wait, but it will just be a mighty blast. فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً. When that mighty blast seizes them, they will not have the ability to dispose of their affairs.
وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ.
Nor would they be able to return to their families. What does it mean? It means man will be in a state of unmindfulness. People may go out to work. People may be doing so many things, arguing, disputing. And that is a time when the trumpet shall be sounded, the mighty blast, which is called. And they will be quarreling and arguing and disputing among themselves. When that sound starts to take them, and when that sound seizes them, Allah says, فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً. They will not have the ability to dispose of their affairs. It means at that point in time, a man will want to finish many things. So if you go out to work, and something is happening, you will want to come back home and report to your family and say so and so is the case. If you are going to do something, that thing may be yet unfinished. You may be going to a meeting, you are yet on the road, you have not reached there. In whatever state a man might be in, he will be in a state doing something which is not yet completed. Allah says when that blast takes them, and when that trumpet begins to be sounded, they will not have any time to dispose of their affairs. They will want to go home. Allah says they won't have the time to reach there. They may want to reach to their destination. They will not reach there. So he says, وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Nor will they be able to return home. And this is the state of affairs of humanity.
Go out.